This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. With near record low unemployment, there are labor shortages in many industries and in many places. Maine has the oldest population in the country and a dire need for workers to care for those older people. And what's happening in Maine may be a warning for the rest of the country. Jeff Stein, an economic policy reporter for The Washington Post, has been reporting on this. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Maine has a tight labor market, but how does aging play into it?
Right. So at the same time as you're having this aging, you know, the baby boomers coming into retirement, you have this labor shortage of those who are going to take care of them. And Maine is really the most extreme example in the country. So far, a fifth of its population is older than 65, which meets the World Bank definition of super aged. But really in a short period of time, in just 7 years, more than 15 other states will meet that designation. So Maine really just a preview of where the rest of the country will be in less than a decade. This shortage also affects people who are disabled and immobilized and need that kind of help. It's not like the number of disabled people is growing at the rate that the number of elderly people is in the state, but they suffer from the same forces.
So how does this look in Maine, this labor shortage, and how is it showing up in people's lives?
Some of the most vivid and sad illustrations of the problem are just how many nursing homes have had to close in the last few years alone because of labor shortages. A lot of the way that these programs work is through Medicaid, but the average wage in the minimum wage in Maine is very similar to that of home healthcare aides or nursing home aides. So it's very, very hard for these nursing homes, which really don't control what they pay their workers, to stay afloat when the competition for workers is really intense. They can't pay that much. And the work, of course, for anyone who's cared for someone who's deteriorating or in need of long-term care, the work is really hard and really brutal in some ways. And so it's created this really terrible perfect storm.
What role does immigration play in all of this?
The number of states that are facing this problem first tend to be whiter and have smaller immigrant populations: Montana, Delaware, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont. But a lot of the people who are really close to this problem, sort of the real experts in the field, are very careful to stress that the solution can't be reduced to immigration, in part because, as you see right now, when we have a hot economy, it's not really clear that having more immigrants would be enough to compensate for the extremely low wages that these workers are paid. And moreover, there's this idea among some of these experts that we really can't sort of outsource this work and assume that it will be done properly, that we need to make sure that, you know, people are well trained, that people are adequately compensated, that people are valued in this form of labor, and that while immigration might be part of the solution, it can't really be the beginning and end of the conversation.
This labor shortage is rippling through the economy in lots of different ways, because if that work isn't being done by someone you pay, that means it has to be done by you and me.
Yeah, and that's, I think, in some ways, one of the scariest parts of all of this. And, you know, a lot of the people I've talked to, a lot of people say that it's exhausting and it's draining, and it's, you know, people are working second jobs, unpaid, uncompensated, at home. Some of the experts I've talked to have said we're going to see huge economic impacts if our workforce is exhausted because they're caring for their parents while they're also supposed to be on the job. And in some cases, you have people who are, you know, paying off their kids' college tuition while taking care of their parents.
How are other countries addressing this issue?
America is really unique in our lack of response to this issue. Every country but the US and England, every country but those two, have adopted some form of a long-term care benefit where, you know, there's a higher payroll tax and that money is used to fund home health care aides. And in particular, what other countries have done that we have not done yet is adjust public benefits to give people the right to age in their own homes, which overwhelmingly surveys and studies show that that's what people want to do. They don't want to go to a nursing home where they don't know anyone. People want to stay in their own homes. And other countries have adopted that demand by publicly providing long-term care from home health aides. We don't have that system or that ability yet, but there's no reason that we couldn't try to adopt it or move towards a system that's like that.
You asked your readers to share their stories about losing elder care. What did you hear back?
frankly, I was just blown away by the number of responses I got from people, and it sort of made me realize, at least, that while Maine is sort of the forefront of this problem, I got emails from Minnesota, Washington State, Idaho, Alaska. I mean, this is a really widespread problem, and people understandably feel very emotional about it. If it's not you and your end of life care, it's that of your parent or your uncle or your grandparents. And so it's something that I think a lot of us worry about in our more quiet moments.
Jeff Stein is an economic policy reporter for The Washington Post. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.